Welcome to WebAx, practical web accessibility tips. Welcome to WebAx, podcast number 48. We're doing another site analysis today, the second one, and the website is for Computer Intelligence Associates, aka Section508Corp.com. And have Ross with me again today.
Yep, I'm here.
How's it going, Ross?
It's pretty good. How about you?
Busy, very busy, as you are.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But anyways, yeah, so we're going to do our second site analysis. We did one podcast, two podcasts ago in 46, that I think was pretty interesting, got a little feedback on it. So we'll do these every once in a while, try not to do it too often. But before we get into that, let's get into the news segment.
What's happening with WCAG 2.0?
Good question. You know, that it was a pretty good and a pretty popular posting from on webstandards.org, and our friend Jared Smith from WebAIM, who is on that board, did that article, or blog post, or whatever you want to call it, and it's an interview from the leading person at the W3C for the WCAG guidelines, and let's see, now I don't have it, here we go, Judy Brewer, and she kind of explains, like, where, what stage they're at, and like how, you know, things get approved at the W3C, and like some of the concerns that they're addressing and everything, which I thought, you know, was excellent, because, you know, everybody's kind of wondering, okay, well, what the heck is going on, you know, and as I said on the blog post on WebAx, the only thing I heard about it lately was turned out to be an April Fool's joke. So yeah, that was the only one that actually got me. I guess I was just positive thinking or something, and I fell for it for a minute there, but anyways, so that's the good part about the article. I mean, the bad part is, you know, it looks like there's still a lot of work to be done. It's only in the second stage of four stages, as far as the approvals go and everything, but I don't know, I'm starting to feel a little better about WCAG 2.0, and just they're addressing a lot of the issues that people were crying about, so...
Yeah, it's good to see they're making progress, and it's kind of like there was a lot of, you know, negative talking when Joe Clark kind of spoke out about it, and to understand it a little better goes a long way, but yeah. It seems like, I mean, not only WCAG 2, but just kind of the whole state of the web is kind of in this intermediary, wants to move forward, but it's really hard. I mean, not, you know, WCAG is trying to get to WCAG 2, and, you know, the XHTML working groups and that sort of thing.
Right.
Kind of in between, you know, CSS 1 and 2 and trying to move to some feature of the 3, and it's not easy. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a blurry area right now.
Yeah, I commend everybody who's actually sticking it out and trying to help, because I probably could do more.
Okay, the next news is just another blog post in between podcasts here is... Top 5 Roadblocks to Web Accessibility, and this is from, it's a pretty detailed article from a guy named Carl Groves, and the 5 points that he pointed out for most common mistakes for an accessible website is dependence upon client-side scripting to present navigation or other stuff, I guess, aka JavaScript.
Yeah, dropdowns or whatnot.
Yeah. Improper use of markup, invalid markup, device dependence, then lack of improper use of alternative text, and improper creation of forms.
Ah, yeah, I see those a lot.
Yeah, so those sound, this sounds pretty accurate, you know, and but his article, if you want to check it out, is really detailed and everything, so.
Yeah, and a lot of those aren't terribly hard to do. I mean, put a little bit of effort.
Yeah, really, like alt text, come on.
Yeah.
So, okay. Oh, yeah, and not sure if you've seen this or not, but there's a friendly reminder from accesssites.org about keyboard-friendly link focus. And I guess some people that submitted sites to them, they just kind of saw a trend that they were lacking the keyboard equivalent to the focus. So when you're tabbing through, like hyperlinks and stuff, that your on mouse over is going to have the same functionality as your what's it called?
The focus or the hover?
Yeah, focus.
Or, yeah.
When you tab over it.
Yeah.
So it's a good article all about that and everything.
Yeah. Good to, you know, good reminder and.
Yeah.
Again, not terribly hard to do, so.
Right, it's just sometimes a lot of those little things get left behind.
So. Yeah. And it looks like MySpace, surprise, surprise, has some accessibility problems as well. That's our next news item.
Yeah, I guess that's not too big a surprise.
Yeah. So not only are their sites ugly and a la GeoCities 1994, but.
Ugly and not user friendly, but yeah. They're not accessible either. But I guess there's been a little bit of an uproar about. MySpace, and well, the blog posting that I found mostly talks about the issue with CAPTCHA.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it's impossible to get on MySpace and sign up, even, you know, because I mean, if you're using a screen reader or whatever, because it requires CAPTCHA, and they don't have an accessible version of CAPTCHA.
Wow.
To sign up. So.
Yeah, and with the kind of financial backing they have now. Like,
yeah, really.
No problem.
Yeah. So, MySpace, if you want to consult Ross or me, feel free to do so, and we'll write up a quote for you.
Yeah, well, we'll tell you to use audio alternative. So.
Yeah. Okay, the last little news bit here is a recent one from that I just read a little while ago, a new post from WebAIM from Jared Smith, and. He posted something that he called the Great Accessibility Blog Roundup, and he lists in alphabetical order that I think about 14 blogs on web accessibility that I guess he thinks are the best, and fortunately WebAX made the list.
Yay,
podcast and blog. He says, there are currently 47 podcasts available to download. Every one of them provides useful accessibility information. Blah, blah, blah. So, thanks, Jared.
Yep. And we interviewed Jared at one point, so if you haven't listened to that one, download it, because he has a lot of great things to say.
That's right. WebAX.
So, okay. On to announcements. The first one, Dennis, go ahead. This has to do with you.
Okay. Well, just a quick announcement here. This is my last podcast that I'm doing from the state of Michigan.
Yep.
In a few days, I'll be taking off to California. I think we mentioned that in the last podcast, but...
Yeah, Dennis is leaving the Motor City.
Yeah, I'm leaving the Motor City again.
Yeah. You coming back this time?
I don't know. I might come back in the future, but who knows, Maybe not, but, all my family's here and my in-laws are... all my immediate family's here, and my in-laws are here, so
yeah.
I'll be back at least for Christmas. So
yeah, well, we'll have to go to a bar and do a podcast from there.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, you'll have to come out to California. We'll do a podcast from there.
Ooh, that sounds a lot more fun. I like that idea.
We'll hang out in Mountain View.
Ooh, that sounds a lot better than Detroit.
Okay, what's next here?
The next one, I actually have a friend who organized, author and kind of father of new media, Seth Godin, to kind of come to Ann Arbor and do a speaking. He's just wrote a new book, but he talks a lot about, new media marketing, web design and marketing online. So if you're interested, come by. It's May 22nd. And you can find out more information about that at connectannarbor.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there a posting on that on Refresh Detroit?
Yeah, I made a quick posting. Okay. Yeah.
So you could go there also, refresh-detroit.org.
Yep, and there'll be information there as well. And then I just got a new intern, which is cool, and actually found him through the Refresh Detroit site. I kind of looked... Very nice. I'm quite excited as well. Yeah, no, I found them through the Refresh Detroit site, which is a big plus in my book, just because, well, you know, we co-founded it, and plus, he obviously is interested in web standards, usability, accessibility, that sort
yeah,
of thing,
so you so. Got, Ross was telling me before we started the podcast, he actually got a lot of interviewees for his paid internship position, so that's awesome. It sounds
yeah.
like you'll do real well, and hopefully you'll be less busy.
I hope so. That's the idea. We'll see, though.
Okay. So now on to our main segment, Web Ads.
Which is taking a look at Computer Intelligence Associates, otherwise known as Section508Corp.com.
Right. Now, I don't know if they have any other domains, but that's the one that they seem to be using. So, yeah, if you go to Section508Corp.com, they kind of stress, it's a company that apparently, you know, provides services for web accessibility. It's the main heading on the homepage is Section 508 and WAI accessibility.
Yep, which, if you're just listening and not looking, it sounds like, hey, this is kind of a cool company. Good idea, right?
Yeah, and then design
but if you actually go to the
design
page,
isn't terrible.
Yeah, you know, it's clean. So if you go to the page and go to page source, you'll kind of start to notice some things pretty quick here. First thing I notice is, hey, where's the doc type?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see one.
No doc type.
Very nice, very nice. And shortly thereafter, we have some inline CSS. Okay.
Not horrible, but not desirable.
Yeah. And what's weird is they also link to an external CSS, so I don't know why they couldn't all put it in there. I don't know.
Yeah, really. Then there's some inline JavaScript, some wonderful Dreamweaver, Macromedia JavaScripts.
It looks like image rollovers.
Yeah. Oh, goody. Well, yeah, I guess we should point out here, if you're not too familiar with programming for web accessibility yet, one of the things you should do for web accessibility is use web standards. Using web standards in itself will make your website more accessible. So a lot of the things we'll be talking about just kind of relates to that.
Yeah, and I mean a lot of web standards is separating content from behavior, which would be JavaScript, because JavaScript tells stuff, you know, when your mouse is over this, it should do this.
Yeah.
And style, which is CSS, which says it should look like this, should be this color, should have this background,
et cetera. Beginning with defining what kind of document this is. There's no doc type definition. There's, you know, saying, is this supposed to be HTML? Is this XHTML? It looks to me like I'm sure it's supposed to be HTML 4 or whatever, because
it's
another bad thing. Not terrible, but definitely not good, is it's totally table-based layout.
Yeah.
So that's not
helping
a lot of things either. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a screen reader trying to read through this is going to be extremely difficult, and the fact that they're trying to sell, testing Section 508 and WAI. It's kind of
it's a little questionable. Yeah, I would. Well, the reason I saved this URL is because I was planning on contacting this company and seeing if they wanted some to hire some expertise to help them out, because. Yeah, like you said, they're claiming to be accessibility experts, but right off the bat, we found some stuff that could be, could get in the way of an accessible website. And but talking about the table-based layout, I'm seeing image spacers with no alt tags. Well, this image spacer has an empty alt tag, which is good, but then the one, like, two lines below it doesn't have an alt tag, so.
Yeah, I see that. And it's almost disappointing because, I mean, the average person who knows that accessibility is important might not know that, looking at this code, that this is bad. I'm sure these people, they probably get business, even though, their own site is not accessible.
Yeah. Let's see.
So I'm running a web exact.
Oh, are you? Okay. So. That's when you were talking, I was running the Cynthia Says report.
Oh, okay. Well, we can pair.
Yeah, the first thing's the first thing I see, the very first check, it didn't pass. It was the alt attribute.
Yeah.
Most everything else looks pretty good, but then again, you know, it's table-based layout, and it's doesn't even tell you what kind of document it's supposed to be, so.
Yeah, and I can see all sorts of validation problems. I mean, most of the
yeah, this is just attributes. This check that I did is just checking some basic accessibility checks. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of these attributes don't use any quotes. Yeah, the no doc type, and really kind of disappointing. This is still going here.
Let's see. Another thing I noticed, I mean, if you got a table-based layout, your site can still be accessible, you know, and if you got some inline CSS or JavaScript, that's not the end of the world, but the bigger problems I'm having, they do have a skip to content, link at the beginning, which is good, and they have a kind of an old school, you know, mouse over menu, but you know they do have the proper alt text on those menu buttons. But one of the bigger problems I'm seeing is like the heading on the home page. It's that I mentioned at the beginning, section 508 and WAI accessibility with kind of looks like an H1, you know, or an H2. But if you look at the code, it's in a table cell. There's no semantic marker, or let alone a head. You know, there's no heading tag or anything associated with it. So that's definitely a major issue there.
Yeah, and the alt text says heading section 508.
Yeah.
WA accessibility. And, so you know, I don't think you know a screen reader really has to say heading.
No.
And yeah, if the image doesn't load, you don't really need to know that it's a heading per se.
Yeah, the heading dash in the alt text can definitely come out, and then an H1 or H2 should be wrapped around it is how it should be done.
Exactly.
Another thing that's maybe doesn't quite jump out at you, but if you're talking about colors, they got this. The link text is all orange, and it's on like a medium blue, and that's kind of hard to read.
It's
kind of small,
it really
too.
Is.
Yeah. And then at the bottom left, they got the phone number and email address, like, in a graphic, and it's kind of small and, like, blurry. So I'd say, okay, let me try to enlarge this text here. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even coming from, you know, I don't wear contacts, you know, I got 20/20 vision, a lot of this stuff is hard to read, you know, with good vision.
Yeah. I mean, the main text is in white on the medium to dark blue, and that's okay, I think. And that text increases in size. The text on the right increases in size. But, yeah, the main menu and that phone number and email is, like, in graphics, and it's hard to read, and it doesn't increase in size.
Yeah. And then there's even some links there that are light blue on dark blue.
There are?
Which is probably... Yeah, right at the bottom there. Copyright 2005, all rights reserved, branding and web design by Julie and Company, which are all in light blue.
Well, I think that's the visited color.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's the visited color. It's you're right. Oh. Once you've visited, it's blue on blue, which isn't good either.
Yeah. No, definitely
another
not.
Bad thing, it's... And that's partially a usability thing, and another partially usability thing is there's no... mouse over effect or hover effect if you're tabbing or mousing over. You know, there is on the graphical main menu, but all the other links, there's no, you know, feedback on the hover or, you know, mouse over of the links.
Yeah. The tabbing through does work pretty well, though, so that's at least good. I'm checking kind of the color blindness test, and it looks like all of them are still pretty readable. So at least, you know, their color choices aren't detrimental to those with color blindness, because that's pretty popular in men.
Right. Well, what they say, like 10%.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than you would think.
Yeah.
Definitely does not fit in a 800 by 600 resolution.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Okay, good point. So, yeah, I mean, to be accessible.
And really, I think that's the sort of thing where they could probably easily do it. I mean, the graphic on the left could be chopped off, and you could still read everything.
Yeah,
easily.
Or you could have, like, so, that middle section could, you know, can stretch, you know, more narrow or wider depending on the size of the screen.
Yeah, or they could even have the latest column kind of shift down to the bottom. That's hard to do with tables. But that would be one
good
way.
Good point. I just noticed another thing. Now, I don't know if we've specifically mentioned this before in a podcast, but when you're doing the CSS for a website, the general rule is like to do all or none. For like your web links, colors and stuff. If you're gonna mess with the colors of the links, then you better mess with all the colors of the links and your background colors and everything. And I'll tell you why. Because this site, particular site, did not do that. Because, well, they may have done it, but the background color didn't turn off. So it looks like either they've done some colors in HTML and some colors in CSS, mixing it, you know.
Oh.
Or because. Thing is, if I turn off the CSS, everything is still there. It looks relatively the same. The problem is, the background color is still there, the dark blue. But the color of the text has been taken away. So now I'm seeing even worse. I'm seeing I'm seeing black content text on the blue, which is okay, which is acceptable, I guess. Barely. But then the links are like even harder to read. They're like the default links are purple and that blue, but it's not on over white. You know, it's still over that dark blue and it looks terrible.
Yeah, it's very hard to read.
Yeah, so that's the point of one of the main things with web accessibility is if you turn off the style sheets, this website's still got to be, you know, readable and usable. So.
Yeah, that definitely creates a problem.
Yeah, that's not too hot. Okay.
Yeah, kind of looking over the other pages, they all kind of suffer from the similar, you know, same kind of problems.
Yeah, the pages inside are different, a little different from the home page. I mean, it's not a whole lot different, but...
Yeah, I mean, same kind of problems.
Yeah. I like the pictures on the left.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I think that does look better. They're using some target equals underscore blank, I see, for some external links as opposed to kind of a JavaScript alternative.
You mean unobtrusive
JavaScript.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not too hot either, but, you know, if this is HTML... Four,
yeah,
then
true.
That could squeak by, I suppose. As long as, do they let you know, though, that they're opening a new window is the question.
Yeah, it does not look like it.
Cause,
which is something I see a lot, and I mean, even I should really kind of make sure myself. I think that's an easy thing to kind of miss.
Oh, dude, go on the GSA schedule page.
GSA schedule.
I am going to open my Firebug and go to inspect this data table here. One of my pet peeves. Let's look at this data table. I do not see a caption. I do not see a summary tag. Please tell me there's at least some THs in here. No, I do not see any table headings. All right, I think I'm about done with this website.
Yeah, I think so,
that
too.
That pretty much caps the list there.
And really, the site is not that old. It was made in 2005, so it's not like at the time that this was built, you know, this is new information. I mean...
Does it say 2005?
Yeah, the first page says copyright 2005.
The home page?
Computer intelligence. Yeah. at the bottom, kind of with the whole footer, web design, branding, etc.
Oh, yeah. I swear I said 2003. Okay, maybe I'm losing my mind. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, for a site made in 2005...
Yeah, 1.5 or 2 years old, that's how long we've been doing this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the information's been around, especially, you know, a company that's supposed to be catering to accessibility.
Pretty bad, pretty bad.
Yeah.
I was hoping we wouldn't get as much negative stuff once we started going through it, but it looks like they're doing a subpar attempt, I would say.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, their clients, they do know enough to kind of do a good job for their clients, but really, I mean, it's pretty hypocritical to have a site that's this inaccessible and your kind of whole business is about accessibility.
Okay. Well, I'll just leave it at that.
Sounds good.
Cool. Well, it's been another fun ad hoc site analysis, Ross.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I think this podcast turned out to be as fun as I thought it was going to be.
We promise we're not just looking to rip into people. We kind of talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that and some ideas for the next analysis we do. But
yeah, we're gonna try and look for some good examples as well. So
yeah, maybe
look forward to that.
Maybe look for some universities or
libraries. We're not that mean, I promise.
Okay, well, that's podcast Web Axe podcast number 48. This is Dennis signing off.
And Russ too. I'll catch you next time.
The Web Axe blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAxe is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.